Hello, no BS.
It is Coach Kathy here. We're going to talk a little bit about the nervous system tonight. Y'all know that's my jam, my jam. Almost 2 years ago, I went to an advanced training on nervous system resilience. And I told Corinne, I said, y'all, dude, this is the missing piece. It is the missing piece to weight loss. Learning about your nervous system, learning about how you can manage the energy and the stress in your body can help you with urges to overeat. So we're going to talk about that a little bit today. As you all come in, got my trusty whiteboard up here. So I have some notes. Here's what we'll do. I'll teach probably 10 minutes, probably not that long, because y'all know I'm not a long talker. Then I'll answer any questions that you might have, and then we'll coach if anybody wants to be coached, okay? So I am gonna look real quick at the chat while y'all are coming in here. Hello, everyone. Hello. I do not have a moderator today, so I will probably keep the chat over here just so I can go back to it if I need to. I see some people in the chat that I have talked to nervous system stuff about before. So if it's review for you, that's okay. In fact, it's actually pretty good if it's review for you because how many times have you listened to No BS? How many times? And you pick up something new, right? So, all right. So Yasmin, our amazing content creator, asked me to talk about the connection between urges and weight loss and your nervous system. So, Christy says she can never review the nervous system enough. Me neither. Me neither. It's the thing. Your nervous system, y'all, is the control center in your body. It's always scanning for danger. It's always checking in to see if you're safe, if you're in a safe place. You know, what's going on around you? Does it need to pull out some protection instinct? Anything like that? And it's like the command center. It's your brain and all the nerves in your body that, you know, send up urges to eat, tell you when to breathe, work your digestion, and all that kind of stuff. So it's really, really important that we know what our bodies are doing. We get really body centric. We ask our bodies all the time if they're hungry, you know, have they had enough? Why aren't we asking them stuff like this? Why am I having urges? What's the energy like in my body? Right? So it's always your nervous system's always scanning for danger. It's always asking you if it needs a reaction to the threat. And y'all, a threat can be like a real threat, like a fire alarm going off, or it can be somebody just called you a name, right? Your brain doesn't know the difference. It's always going to say, there's a threat. We should do something, right? It takes your conscious brain, not your nervous system, not that habit brain, to decipher whether or not the threat is real. Okay? So that habit brain, that nervous system is always going to scan for danger and offer us ways to mitigate the danger. Okay? So here's how I like to picture my nervous system. This is what I call the nervous system ladder. And I always start right here at home base. Y'all know what home base is? This is where you feel your best. You're nice and calm, you're settled, you're warm, right? You're not, you know, shivering. You're curious, you're balanced. The energy in your body, and I'll explain what that means in a minute, the energy in your body feels just right. You know, all is well in the world. Home base, settled, calm, feel good. Right? But let's say you start thinking something or something happens around you that begins to stress you a little bit. You begin to add energy. So over here is my little up arrow where energy starts to add to your body. Now, what does that mean? Maybe you fidget. Maybe the tension, you tense your muscles, you tense your jaw, you're on alert. Sometimes I call it the bubbles. You know, how you feel when you feel a little anxious, you start to talk faster. Your breathing gets a little choppier. Energy in your body is rising. Okay. And as the energy in your body rises, You go up here into what I call an awareness zone. Okay. Up here in this awareness zone, you might feel a little urgy, a little uncomfortable, agitated, or annoyed. Okay. You're starting to, you might feel a little nervous, right? But the higher the energy gets, guess what? Your conscious brain, this thinking brain, starts to get a little nervous. Wait, energy's going up. Is there a problem? Are we in danger? Right? It's starting to ask. And the higher the energy gets till you're way up here above home base, the more likely your conscious brain is going to take a back seat and your habit brain is going to take control. Why? Because it is too much. Too much energy is too much for your conscious brain. The habit brain doesn't have to use that much energy. All it can do, all it does is it says, survival instinct, I got you. You know what we do when we get this agitated, when we get this much energy and get this stressed out? We eat. Let's eat, y'all, throw up urges to eat so that we can come back to home base. That's what's happening. The more agitated, stressed, upset, angry you get, the higher you climb this ladder, the more likely your conscious brain is going to say, this is too much for me, habit brain, take the wheel. Okay? Christy says, high emotion, low cognition. That's right. That's what happens. So the habit brain is just back here with its survival instinct saying, don't worry about that. I got you. I know what fixes things for you. I know what fixes. If we eat, we feel better. And guess what? This is what we've been taught all our lives. This is what we've done all our lives. So why wouldn't the habit brain offer that to us? It just makes so much sense. Veronica says, I put danger Will Robinson on my above home baseline. Yes, I totally have described it like that before. Do y'all remember Lost in Space? If you're as old as me, you remember that old robot that used to do its arms like this? It would go, danger, danger. That's what's happening. And the further up the ladder you go, the more energy you add, the more that robot is going, holy cow, we've got a problem here. And the more the habit brain takes over. So, what you want to do is you want to settle yourself. When you see yourself going up, you want to notice that and come back toward home base. Now, little side note here. The goal is not to always be at home base. Okay? You want to be able to move in and out of home base like this. Because you're going to have emotions. You're going to have things that stress you. You're going to have things that make you sad. That's all normal. So, life inside of home base is just not possible. It's not practical. But what you want is to notice when you're swinging up or down, and for your swings not to be like huge swings, all the way up to above, all the way down to below and back. You want them to be easy swings through home base. Okay? Everybody with me? Let's talk about lower energy. So, as you could tell, when I was talking about high energy, my voice was up. I was louder, right? My breathing got a little choppy. When I talk about lower energy, my cadence goes down. My posture gets a little bit, I don't know, weaker. There's not as much tension in my body. It's like I'm more fatigued, right? So as energy leaves your body, as you have lower energy, you might be feeling things like wary or uncertain or sad or down. And the further you go below home base, the lower the energy gets until you can absolutely shut down. Okay? You can feel hopeless or helpless or defenseless. Right? That's below home base, and that's very low energy. It is also where your habit brain senses danger because it knows your habit brain and your nervous system know the amount of energy you need in your body to be at home base. So when you're way up, it senses danger. When you're way low, it senses danger as well. So what's it going to do when you're down here below home base? Or approaching below home base, it's gonna say, conscious brain's gonna go, this is too much for me. I don't know what to do with this. I need that survival instinct to kick in. Habit brain, you're in charge. And that habit brain for many of us will go, we got nothing but eating. Let's just send up some urges. She'll feel better if she eats. That's how the nervous system and weight loss and urges integrate. Okay? So it's important to know, it's important to think about where you are on this ladder so that if you're getting stressed, if you're really starting to sink down, you can recognize it while your conscious brain is still working before the conscious brain goes offline. Okay? Now, one point to make here is that it is possible for you to be at home base and shoot straight up. Like I don't know, at the mall and a fire alarm starts going off. You don't want to sit there and go, huh, I wonder if I should leave. No, your nervous system is going to activate and you're going to run for the door. That's okay. All right. You want that to happen. The habit brain is not a bad guy here. It's the one that's protecting you or thinks it's protecting you. So as long as you can keep some kind of consciousness online, you can evaluate whether or not the threat is real. Okay. Because if you're eating over somebody calling you a name, is that a real danger threat or is that just a hurt feeling? Right? So, keeping that conscious brain online as much as you can is what you want to do. Staying as close to home base as you can is what you want to do. All right. So, home base, nervous system safety. All right. When you find yourself creeping up or creeping down, what do? You ask yourself, all right, I see I'm agitating. I see I'm going getting down. Am I safe? Basically, that means, am I in a safe place? Well, right now, I'm a little nervous. I'm probably around right here because I'm teaching. I'm on a membership call, but I'm safe. I'm in my office. I've got my whiteboard. I got y'all. Definitely safe, right? Do I feel safe? Is the next question. And that means dive into your body. What is your energy like? Do you feel safe? Do you feel like you're at home base or close to home base? If the answer is yes, you are solid. But if the answer is no, then you do something to relax the body. And y'all know that the easiest thing to draw on, it's like the fundamentals of safety and relaxing the body are the five core pillars. Okay, y'all have heard me talk about them before. Let's review them again real quick. Sleep is number one, 7 to 9 hours. If you are getting your rest, guess what happens? Conscious brain has more energy to work and to stay conscious when you begin to agitate. Otherwise, if you're super tired, it's going to go too much for me. Habit brain, take the wheel. Oh, look, urges. Okay. Sleep, super important. Rest, super important. I would even lump into here breaks. So if you are a 3 o'clock urge eater at work, take a break. Give your conscious brain, your body, your nervous system a chance to settle. Walk outside. Just take 5 minutes and just breathe. Give yourself a break. Okay, so sleep is number one. Janet says, sleep is always what I need in those moments. Absolutely. Absolutely. Nutrients is number two. Now, this does not mean everybody go out and eat a salad. Okay, this means watch how your food feels in your body. All right, if you're somebody who eats out of the candy bowl every day when she gets stressed, the sugar is probably not helping your stress level. It's not to say candy's bad. If you plan it, if you enjoy it, that's fine. But eating foods that agree with your body, give you the right kind of energy, help you feel good, super important to making sure your body feels safe. Number three is movement. I'm not talking about half marathons, y'all. I'm not talking about 5 mile walks. I'm talking about just moving your body. It's one of Corinne's basic human needs in No BS, right? That new basic human needs, movement. Our bodies were meant to move. So even if it's stretching or walking to the mailbox or getting up out of the chair for a minute and walk in the house, our bodies were meant to move. So any kind of scheduled movement you can do is going to help you stay at home base. And I'll give you an example of that in a minute. Number four, sunlight. Y'all, we are primal beings. Corinne talks about how we're not that far above the cavemen. That's why our nervous systems are always scanning for danger. Sunlight, who doesn't go out in the sun and go, "Ah, oh, sunlight." We love the sunlight. We love the beach. We love to be outside. So sunlight is number four, super important, okay? And then number five, it's probably my favorite one. It's connection. Now, there's lots of ways to connect. You can connect with your partner, with your kids, with your pets. Sometimes just being, we're pack animals by nature. Even us introverts like to be around the right people. Your best friend, your accountability partner, anybody you can talk to, befriend, be with, that's connection. It's also, I mentioned pets, right? Don't you feel great when your cat or your dog climbs up in your lap and nuzzles you, right? So, connection. Nature, you can connect with nature. I have a private client who has a tree in her backyard. When she's stressed, she will walk out in that backyard and she will hug that tree. Not even kidding. But have you ever walked through the grass in your bare feet or on the beach in your bare feet? There's something about our bodies connected to nature feels really, really good. And then the fourth type of connection, thank you for posting those, Christy. Fourth type of connection might be to a higher power. If you are a spiritual person, you might connect at church with church people, with God, with sacred time in the morning, with whatever higher power. If you are a connection person, and you have higher power that's important to you, it's another form of connection. Then the last one, and probably the most important one when we're talking about the nervous system, is connection to self. Okay, that's, you do that with your journaling. You do that with asking yourself, am I hungry? Have I had enough? You do that when you take care of your body, when you dress your body, when you think about your body, when you think about yourself. Connection to self and how you perceive yourself and treat yourself can also either dysregulate you or keep you at home base. So, the five core pillars again: sleep, nutrients, movement, sunlight, and connection. Okay. When I'm an overwhelmer. Y'all know what that means? I get overwhelmed easy. Super easy. Get overwhelmed and anxious. That's my go-to. I go a little bit above home base, and I know that if I'll just go outside for 5 minutes and take a little 5-minute walk in my neighborhood, I'll come back and I'll feel more settled. So when I feel myself creeping up, that's what I do. It's funny, I used to find myself just walking the house. I'm like, what are you doing, Kathy? You got to get back to work. But I know it's because my nervous system needed a check-in, and it needed to come back toward home base. So to recap, home base is your zone of resilience, safety, connection, preparedness, resilience. Did I say resilience? As you add energy to your body, as your body adds energy, whether it's based on something you're thinking or something that's happening around you, you begin to climb up the ladder. And the further up the ladder you get, the more your conscious brain is going to defer to your habit brain. And your habit brain, if you're like me, your habit brain will say, I know how to make you feel better. Let's eat. So as you climb the ladder, you pull in one of those five core pillars, so that you kind of come back down toward home base. And same thing down here. As energy decreases, as you get tired, as you get bored, as you get lonely or sad, notice and pull in one of those five core pillars. Connection would be a great pillar to pull in when you're below home base and bring it back up toward home base so that your swings stay around home base and not super high or super low. Now, who has questions about that? Anybody? Let me look at the chat real quick. 7 to 9 hours of sleep. That's what Corinne recommends. That works for me. Sometimes, let me just be honest too. I don't always get 7 hours of sleep, but I am in my bed, loving my bed, feeling my sheets, resting my body for at least 7 hours. Most nights it's 8 to 9 hours, whether I'm asleep or not. Okay, it's very, very important that you rest your body. All right, as I'm scanning this chat, if anybody wants to be coached tonight, go ahead and raise your hand. If you have any questions, put them in the Q&A. Oh, there is a question in the Q&A. Anonymous says, I changed my schedule to be live on this call today. This is what I need help on right now. I've been above home based most of the time recently. I'm feeling anxiety about everything, my daughter's grades, my husband's work, my sister, my mom, politics. I'm not dealing with it by eating, so that's good, but I'm taking it out on my husband and my daughter, which is worse. How do I feel stressed, anxious about things that deserve stress and anxiety without letting my bad behavior run the show? I love this question so much. A lot of us would eat over this. Anonymous, you are not eating over this, which is great, but there's nervous system work to do, right? So when you're feeling anxious and you're above home base, your nervous system needs relief. Okay? And when you're super stressed, sometimes a fight response will come out. And that's how your body, when you're in that fight response, like you talked about, taking it out on your husband and your daughter, when you're in that fight response, your energy, you're actually using energy. You're helping that energy come back down because you're yelling, you're fighting, you're agitated, okay? So how can you do that otherwise? Here's what I would do. I'll tell you, I would create space. I would connect back with myself. I would talk to myself and I would breathe. That's one thing I didn't talk about was breathing. Anonymous, when you are above home base, if you can think to breathe, I want you to breathe in, hold it, and breathe out long and audible. Long and audible. Okay? Because, and picture some of that extra energy coming out of your body. Now, are you going to get stressed about grades, work, sister, mom, politics? Yeah, you are. But it's how you manage that stress, how far you let yourself go up above home base before you come back, start managing it to come back in. That's important. Okay? If that doesn't help, why don't you raise your hand and we can talk about it some more? I can show you some more things. But that's sort of how this works. We can't do without feelings. We have to have feelings. We live full color lives. I talked about this, I don't know, on a call recently. So we're gonna have the feelings. It's how we manage ourselves when we're having those feelings, how we notice what our nervous system is doing when we're having those feelings that keeps us from yelling at each other, keeps us from eating our faces off, and all the things. Okay? So let me know. Let me know if you need anything more with that. I don't have any hands raised, y'all. Nobody want coaching tonight? Nobody want coaching? Because if you want coaching, we can talk about where you are on the ladder or what gets you on the ladder and maybe some strategies about how to manage it, how to avoid eating. Let's see. Christy says, think of a certain time when and close your eyes and start with A to Z, a certain theme. Yes, close your eyes, A to Z. List something that begins, yet with each letter. I do that with gratitude. Yeah, I do that with gratitude. There's something about gratitude, y'all. There's something about experiencing, feeling gratitude that helps mitigate some of these stronger emotions. Sometimes it's not accessible. If you're like way above home base or way below home base, it might not be accessible. But as you come back toward home base, gratitude may be accessible to you. And if you can list a bunch of things that you are grateful for, I use the alphabet to help me with that, then you might be able to help with that some. All right. Laura has her hand raised. Oh, this is a good point. Just a second, Laura. Barbara says, I feel like I've been above home base for so long. I'm not sure what home base would feel like. That is so true of a lot of us. I think I spent about 2 years above home base before I realized what was happening. Now that you have the information, Barbara, you have you I charge you. I want you, I instruct you to start practicing some of the five core pillars because your body does not like being dysregulated, this dysregulated for a long time. Okay? Your body in protection mode for an extended period of time doesn't feel good. It won't, it'll, it, you might dehydrate, you might get chronic pain, you might have other things that happen medically if your body is dysregulated for a long time. So it's time for you to start practicing. Okay. All right. Laura, let's see what you got. Here she comes.
Hi.
Hi there.
I love what Barbara said. I feel like that's probably true for me too. Like I've been above home base for so long that
So you identify as being above home base, and you might be stuck up there
definitely.
sometimes, but tell me what you feel, tell me when you feel the calmest.
Oh, that's such a good question. I feel the calmest when I tell everybody I'm going to bed, but I really go to the room to go do something on my phone or read a book. That's when I feel the calmest.
Yeah, and you can tell
That's
you're
when I
feeling
feel the most
calm.
safe.
Yeah, you feel safe. Your breathing gets nice and easy. You might loosen the tension in your body. That's how you know. That's what home base feels like. Okay.
Okay. And I was, so of course I'm now thinking for weight loss purposes, oh my goodness, I need to get back to home base. And yet life is so busy. Like there's so many demands on time, personal, and work life. But it doesn't have to be like this grand thing where I go find quiet and home base.
No.
And it really could just be bringing it down more regularly, right?
Yes, absolutely. You don't have to go in a corner and, get all zen and start the, ohms and all that kind of stuff. No, that works if that's your thing. But what you need to do more than anything is recognize that you're not at home base, and that's why the urges are there. Somebody in the Q&A said, it's hard for me to just go take a walk. It's much easier to grab some candy. Yeah, I'm sure it is. But it's also easy to take a breath. It's also easy to just to go to the bathroom and create a little space. There are things that you can do, things you already do, Laura, like you just mentioned, that create this feeling of safety that pull you back into home base that you just haven't realized yet.
Oh, that's so wonderful. So really, like home, coming down from home, like above base, doesn't have to take a lot of time, even if you've been there a lot and often. I obviously haven't been there consistently for, a long, long time. So, okay, that is nice to know. Just you can just bring it down with little increments of investments of time. Okay.
Sometimes just bringing it down long enough for your conscious brain to really take hold and say, okay, I know why I want to eat right now. It's because I'm nervous. It's because I'm anxious. It's because I'm worried, or whatever it is, gives you enough agency to pause and say, all right, what else can I do? What else can I try to make myself even make my body feel even just a little bit better so that I'm a limit, I'm getting rid of these urges to eat. I can go back to hunger and enough.
That's so beautiful. That turns our urges into like loving messages that we're not at home base.
I
That's
love,
all like,
I love that so
yeah.
much. Yes,
I
that's what it
love
is.
it too. Like, they're not evil. Those urges are not evil. They're just loving messages. Like, because that might be the only message I get that I'm above home base is my urge to eat.
It might be that urge to eat could be a signal. Well, is a signal that there's an unknown, unmet need. And
Right.
it's a need, I mean, globally for safety. But what is the most appropriate way to get to safety in the situation that you're in? Right?
And that can be like, of course, I might need safety from all the demands and urges and might need a break, like whatever, a mental break. But also, I think too, sometimes the way I think about my life creates more sense of being unsafe than really it is. So maybe that's something I need to throw into ask coaches and dig into a little.
Absolutely, absolutely. Because this feeling of I call it dysregulation. When you're not at home base, globally, you're dysregulated. Regulation is at home base. Dysregulation is off of home base, and it can be created by self-talk, the way you talk about yourself to yourself. It can be created by what you think about what's going on around you. Or it can be created by something that's happening around you, right? Do you remember when, I don't know if you've ever heard this story, but Corinne talks about when she was a teenager, she was held up at gunpoint at a gas station. Okay. Not only was she not in a safe place, she wasn't feeling safe. Okay. So she probably went straight up to home base and wanted to run, wanted to flee or fight, knowing Corinne. I would flee, Corinne would fight. So it can be something happening around you, but it could also be something that's not a real threat.
Right.
Your nervous system doesn't know the difference between a real threat, like being held up at a gas station, or a perceived threat, like I have a trip next week. I'm dysregulated about the trip because I don't know what to pack. I'm going to a country that don't speak English.
Yep,
Well,
that would do it.
right. It's all stuff that if I spend some time thinking about and using my conscious brain to work through, I can come back to home base about.
Yeah, that's the whole Corinne talked about hypothetical hell. When you're living in hypothetical hell, you are definitely not feeling safe at all.
Exactly. I love that hypothetical hell. I spend some time there myself. Let's just be honest.
Me too. Thank you. That's so helpful. I feel encouraged and hopeful I could do more and bring myself back. I don't have to live up there. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you. Awesome. All right. Annette says, Coach Kathy told me when I get too far above home base, just think about the facts that are causing the feeling. I've worked on that, and now I have to get the feelings wheel out to be sure I know exactly what the feeling is. Sometimes I come back closer to home base with just a couple of deep breaths. That's so true, Janet. Our breath, especially when you're above home base, the breath gets choppy, right? And you will settle if you just take a moment and take a deep breath. You'll oxygenate your body. And your body and your blood flow, it needs that oxygen, right? So when your breath is real choppy, it's not getting as much oxygen, senses danger. So when you breathe and you oxygenate, guess what? Your body begins to settle. Okay. Sue has her hand raised. Let's see what you got, Sue. Can y'all tell I love this stuff? I just feel like I found like the golden fleece or the Ark of the Covenant. When I found this nervous system work, I was like, finally, I understand myself so much more. Hi, Sue. How are you? I haven't seen you in a minute.
I know. How are you?
I'm good. I'm good.
Good. Oh boy. I've got so much going on in my brain. And I was writing my AP and I was like, I'm not where I want to be, but I'm so much better than what I used to be. So this is a good thing. But I was just thinking, I feel like I'm kind of like in the center of a wheel that's got all these spokes because I feel like where before they used to all be spinning, but now I can more identify them, what's going on. And so I'm kind of a little bit all over everywhere, which is pushing my emotions around. And I'm trying to stay at home base, about them, or at least be in the area.
Yeah, that's a good goal. If your goal is to always be at home base, you ain't gonna do it. That's perfection, right? Be in the area.
I'm just trying to stay in the area somehow, just to have myself kind of calm and that stuff. All right, the one thing, the last time I had talked to you, we'll go with this. The last time I had talked to you, I was talking to you about my son, if you recall. He was having issues and everything with his drug usage and everything. So, he in mental illness. Now he has is the one kind of choosing to hold his distance from us because I'm trying to have boundaries with it. And the last time I had seen him, he had come over and he was like sitting on my porch and you know I was like, "What are you doing?" You know, I just had come over and that, and he's like, "I'm just doing a dab, which is legal down the street. I can buy it." And I was like, "But with your situation, your medicine, your everything, this is not good for you." And I was like, "Why would you choose to do that in front of me?" And he just picked up his stuff. I was like, "What are you doing?" He goes, "I'm leaving." He goes, "I don't want to get mad and I don't want to fight." Because I've always told him, you know, don't engage in a fight and everything with the household that he's living in and have a physical fight and everything. So there's one part of me that's like, yay, he's at least listening to that instruction. But then the other part of me is he walked away from me, you know, from mom. And I know this is such a mixed thing. Because I'm trying so hard just to focus my life on what I'm doing, my weight loss, my emotions, and my everything. And I was talking to my other son the other day, and I says, you know, I was getting all of this emotional after being settled for a long time. I'm starting to get all these emotions and everything because I'm missing him. I'm missing the boy that was sober, that was, you know, my son, not the one that's acting out now or living in his world now. And I says, but I didn't call anybody. I sat with my emotions. I let them all settle down because I don't want to always be running to someone else to say, "Hey, will you settle my emotions down for me? Will you give me direction on how I'm supposed to feel?" And then, you know, there's my head over here that is being insecure, you know, not sure of what I'm thinking. And because I'm really just thinking for the first time on my own. And it's like, you know, I'm doing a lot of patting on the back and good job and, you know, instilling new habits with my food and I'm not doing the overeating and everything. But there's all that insecurity. And then there's that loss, you know. And then I talk to other people and that stuff, and it's like, I kind of want to move almost everybody away because I don't want to hear everybody or anybody's judgment on all of this. And yet, then I'm thinking, Sue, you're the problem. Why are you trying to move everybody away? So it's like I'm in this crazy place. Does that sound
Yeah, so I'm gonna tell you a
any
couple
sort
things
of
that I
normal?
heard. No, I think you're trying to figure it out. That's what it sounds like to me. Is that what it feel like to you? Does it feel like you're trying to figure it out?
Yes.
So when you said, "I sat with the emotions," that's connection to self. Okay? We are supposed to feel our emotions, even if they're outside of home base. Because when an emotion has a life cycle, and if you sit with it and you normalize it and you understand it, it's not going to perpetuate for as long as you think it will. So when you sat with the insecurity and loss, it started to ease up after a little bit, didn't it? It started to fade after a little bit. That's exactly how emotions act if you're not perpetuating it and amplifying it. So for you, insecurity and loss is where on the nervous system ladder? Is it low or is it high?
His chest. His chest.
Oh, okay. So in your body, you feel it in your chest.
I feel it in my chest. Yeah.
Yeah. What does the energy feel like? Is it low energy or high energy?
I don't think I understand exactly what that is.
Okay. Can you think about a time when you were riding a roller coaster? Your body was all tensed up and you were all, all shaky, stressed, fearful. That's high energy.
All
Okay.
right, well, I'm there.
Okay. When low energy is when you're like sad, depressed, like
Oh.
posture down, loss, grief. That's super low energy.
Yeah, no, I'm not in my depressed or depression state or anything. I'm just in a tightened anxiety type of a
Okay.
place.
Okay. So that sounds high energy then. That's more energy than your body needs. You're probably, when you go to bed at night, you're probably exhausted, aren't you? Because you've been buzzing with energy all day long. Your body has been using up all that energy all day long. And, right?
Yeah, and I'm going to say, you know what? This is like the roller coaster because it's a hit and miss, and this is the way it is. You know, some days it's fine, and other days it's like I said, I didn't have it for a long time, and then I have just had this little, I guess like the wind bringing in the morning,
It's a good way to, yeah.
because
It's a good
he's
way to
not
put it.
here, and he could be here, and it could be different, and it isn't, and I'm powerless, and I can't do anything about it. And he had more courage to walk away from me than I think I could have walked away from him.
So you said something. You said he walked away from me. You've said that twice now. What feeling does that bring up?
Sadness.
Sadness? Why would it be normal for you to feel sad in that situation?
He's my son, he's my baby, he's my everything. I have all of these memories of when he was small, and all of this love and all of the fun and all of the everything. And then now we're an adult, and I'm not the parent or the person in his life that he wants or needs or accepts, or I had thought our future was going to be, but when he's away, things are quiet and sane, and when he's near, they're chaotic and insane. So I don't want the insane and chaotic. But I want the guy that was, definitely 5 years sober, working hard for his own soul.
Yeah.
And he's
So
not around no more, right now, at
right now
least.
he's not. Right. So normalizing your emotion, your feeling of loss, your pain, normalizing is another way to connect to self. It is giving yourself the permission to feel that way. And it actually helps you understand yourself more. It helps you understand, your feelings, your drive. It's compassion. It's self-compassion when you normalize. And self-compassion lives, guess where? Closer to home base. Right?
Yeah.
So when you can add in, of course I feel this way. He's my boy. That gives you permission to feel the loss, which is a very self-compassionate thing to do.
Thank you for the hearts on the screen. When I was talking to my older son, I'm like, I don't know how to feel about him. And he says, Mom, just have unconditional love for him. Well, on a great sunny day, that is so easy. When everything's going right, everything is easy. Love, everything, everything's blooming in that. But on a rainy, stormy day, it's like, how do you do this?
So I love what your son said because, My husband is not a drug addict, but there are times he really annoys me. Okay? So I can feel annoyed at him or angry at him or irritated by him and still love him. It's that duality of emotion. You can feel really disappointed in your son, really unhappy with his choices, and still love him. That love is the basis. Everything else comes and goes. Right? Sometimes the love is the only thing that's there. When he's sober, when he's happy, when he's with you, that's all you need is the love. But when he's not, when he's having a hard day or he's doing something you don't agree with, that love is still there, but it's just got a little bit of layer of disappointment or regret or something else on top of it. That's what your son is saying when it comes to unconditional love, saying just keep that basis of love as you're feeling these other things. Does that
That
sound
makes sense.
possible?
Yeah, that makes sense, 'cause basically, I mean, there's no way, I mean, that love that I feel for him ever would ever end, but it's the behaviors and everything that's all around it that I don't like, that I disapprove. I know that he is, it's sucking the life out of him. And in fact, he just got done on the very last phone call that I had with him after that situation on the steps. He says, "My life is over." And that's the way he feels, hopeless and that kind of stuff. And I keep trying to turn this over. And the one thing he had said to me one time was, because I was doing all this heavy, serious, deep crying over him, and he had called me with, his whatever he was talking, and he goes, "Well, you should be crying over this because I'm, this victim and that stuff." And I asked him, I says, "Is that what you want from me? Do you want me to cry over you?" And it's like that, I don't care how you feel, Mom. And then, but then I know he loves me as well. I know
Well, this,
that boy is there,
yeah,
and I
and
know
he's
the
probably stuck
disease.
way down here, which means he is conscious, his conscious brain is not available to him. He's shut down, he's hopeless, he's helpless, he's doesn't know how to manage. So his urges are to use. And it's the only way he knows to feel better when he's using.
Okay, so to kind of wrap this call here, so you can talk to others too. What would you suggest when I'm feeling this, when I want to be in unconditional love for him, and I'm feeling the layers of the disappointment and, further out than that embrace that I've always had. I don't want to ever not have the hope, but it seems like when I have the hope, that brings more disappointment. And I don't want to say, "Gone, you're gone, you're out of here."
Yeah.
If anything, I just want to embrace him, but I'm powerless to do that at any point. So it's
Yeah.
just me and my head and my heart all doing its jazz stuff in here.
Yeah. So the three steps to feeling the hard stuff, I teach every month, it seems like, on how to feel on my How to Feel Hard Stuff calls, are acknowledge the feeling, name it, then normalize it. Then do exactly what you have been doing. Let it be there and feel it in your body. That's how you understand what you're feeling, and you tolerate a feeling. You allow it to be there. Okay? Acknowledge, name it, normalize it like we did. Why would it be normal that I feel this?
The four ends, yeah.
And
And
feel it in my
seal it.
body. Where is it in my body? Okay? Then the other
Yeah.
thing I'm going to recommend to you, if you're not already involved in Naranon, call up your local chapter, get to a meeting. I have a private client who is the her only son is a drug addict, and he's sometimes sober, sometimes not, but Naranon is her lifeline. There are people in Naranon who can help you process every time you talk to your son, how to manage your son, the boundaries you can set up, and all the things they are. When she comes to our calls and she tells me about her calls with Naranon, I am so grateful that she has them. So look that up. I
Okay.
think you can even
Thank
meet
you.
online. I mean, they're an amazing resource for someone who has a drug addict that they care about.
Thank you. I have to say, over because I joined in December of 22, and I'm going through all of this, and I'm not overeating over this. So I haven't really lost any weight, but my behaviors have been better. So this program has brought me so far.
I'm so
You
glad.
know,
I'm
so
so glad.
far.
I'm so glad.
So,
You
thank
know
you so
we've got you,
much.
Sue.
I
Whatever you
know you
need,
do.
okay? We got you.
Thank you. Thank you,
All
everyone.
right.
All right.
Take care.
Bye-bye. Love you.
Okay. Don says, my habit brain go-to is alcohol instead of food. Any suggestions on retraining my brain to choose something else? Everything I have taught today, Don, applies to alcohol, applies to gummies, if you use gummies to disconnect. Anything you use to porn, shopping, anything you use to disconnect, this will work with. Okay. When is the call dealing with our feelings? I do this, I do that call. It's called How to Feel the Hard Stuff. It's on the calendar. I think the next one is July 1st. Okay, so this call on the nervous system with this nervous system education kind of took the place of that call this month. So back on July 1st, that's when I'll be back with How to Feel the Hard Stuff. All right, let's get to these questions. Maria says, I get well over home base at work. I'm a nurse in a very high acuity busy unit. Demands, tasks from patients, doctors, family sends me spiraling. And I've been doing this almost 30 years. I get it, Maria. I'm very do as much as I can for everyone, so I barely sit. What makes it worse is when I see my coworkers sitting or in the or on their phone. I know that has nothing to do with me, but it makes me feel worse. It's so hard to come down. I breathe. That's my only tool. I can't leave the floor. I get a really tight chest. All right, so a couple of things might be happening here. There is, I call it a nervous system state, which is, I was talking about fight and flight up here above home base. There's one called performance. So your nervous system could be in what they call performance state. And what that is, it's a little bit above home base, but it is not unsafe. It is still safe. So it's called a mixed state because it combines the extra energy with the safety. I run in performance state all day long. When I'm coaching, when I'm working, I have higher energy, but I don't feel unsafe. So when you are walking the floor, Maria, you are likely in performance state where you're not like super agitated, but you are taking care of business. The agitation comes in when you start looking at what others are doing and compare it to what you're doing. Okay? We all experience this when we compare. So what I want you to do is think about, how do I want to show up? Who's the person that I want to be? And whatever they do, they've made the decision on who they want to be. So if you bring the focus back to you and you breathe through that tight chest and here's another big one. Y'all, we sit like this all day long. What if you just lower your shoulders? Just lower your shoulders and sink your posture just a little bit. Take a deep breath. You're going to release some of the tension and the energy in your body. And that'll be helpful. The other thing for you, Maria, this is a trick that I tell people usually holiday time. You're a nurse, so you have to keep your hands clean, right? If you can do it with warm water, rubbing your hands together with warm water is also going to feel good. There's something very tactile about our hands, and rubbing either our hands, our upper arms, even our thighs, if we're in a meeting, is also soothing and comforting. Okay, so try those to see if you can create just a little bit more comfort for yourself as you are doing your amazing work for other people. Lisa, so I'm weirdly feel like I'm sitting pretty solidly in home base lately. I would say this feels unusual. I would say it feels amazing. I would say I often can sit below home base with periods above shooting me back down to below. Me too, and I'll explain that in a minute. How can I use this period when I'm in home base to strengthen, shore up my resilience for when I'm inevitably moved down again? I love this question because resilience is like elasticity. And the more you practice this work, the more you put these things into your habit brain as options other than eating. So, Lisa, practice the five core pillars whether you need them or not. That's how you gain resilience. That's how you put them into your habit brain so that you become more like me when you get overwhelmed or anxious. You take a quick walk, you step outside. The more you practice this work, the closer you'll stay to home base. You'll still agitate, you'll still get sad, all those things will still happen, but you won't go as far off of home base the more you practice creating safety for yourself. Okay? Anonymous says, where can I learn more about home base? A book or a course? Let me think on that for a minute. So I'm going to give you a book recommendation, but I'm going to warn you that it's dense. Okay? It's very sciencey. This is all, it sounds woo, but it's all very sciencey. Okay? There is an author named Deb Dana, Deb Dana, Deb Dana, two names. And the book I read that she wrote is called Anchored. And she talks about being anchored in safety, which is what I refer to as home base. Now, there might be some terminology differences. She might call above home base a different term, but if you come back to this the way I've described it, you'll connect the terms. So Anchored by Deb Dana is a book that I've read that I enjoyed, but it is dense. You know, this work, when you get into this work pretty deeply, it's dense. There's also Andrew Huberman is a neuroscientist. Neuroscientist. He has a podcast, he has a YouTube channel. You can listen to him as well. Let's see. Are there any other questions? Okay. Sue says, thank you. This was a very helpful call to me. Oh, awesome. Layers on my unconditional love. Perfect. All right. We got one more caller. So I'm going to take her real quick. And then if there are any other questions after this one, hit me up and ask coaches. Okay. So let's see what Linda needs. Here you come, Linda. Hi there. You need to unmute.
Hi,
There you
Kath. Oh, I'll ask you fast. I didn't want to. You
It's
could have
okay.
asked me to put my hand down because I know we're winding up, right?
That's okay. What you need?
My question was, I go, probably like lots of people up and down, meaning I'm real great for 2 months or 6 weeks. And I just got back from a holiday and my eating's a little off the rails. My meals are fine, but I'm bringing in the junk. I don't know who I'm bringing it in for or why I think I'm going to leave it there, but I'm walking by the jujubes on the And it's been going on for like a week or two now, like it's out of control now. My clothes are getting tight. And I was thinking, what can I do or say in that moment? Because when it's not here, I'll eat an orange, I'll eat fruit.
Yeah. So when you're at the store and you're reaching for the jujus, what are you telling yourself?
I'll leave them for when my boyfriend drops over. I'm usually good. I know he's coming and I put them away.
Okay. Now you know
Or
that's a justification. What else are you telling? Why are
it's
you
because
buying
it's,
them?
I don't know. When I was away in Palm Springs, my dad and brother eat junk, but I don't eat it because they'll see it missing, and then they'll say, where did all the nachos go? For some reason, when they're around, I don't eat it.
So is it a response to that? I didn't get to eat it while I was on vacation, so I can have some now.
Maybe I should ask, what's this? What am I trying to soothe? Or,
Yes.
what am I putting off that this is, that's a good question.
Yeah. Yeah. What is my unmet need? Why do I want these?
Okay.
How else
Okay.
can I give myself some comfort? I
Right.
mean, that should be everybody's homework on this call
That's really great. What
is
can you say the question again?
how else can I give myself comfort? I have a fuzzy blanket. I'm going to go downstairs. I can hear Ken in the kitchen. He's fixing me dinner. Good man, right? I'm going to go downstairs. I'm going to sit in my recliner, put my feet up, and I'm going to pull that blanket up to here because I love my fuzzy blanket. That's comfort to me. That is physical comfort. And when I give myself physical comfort, emotional comfort comes along for the ride. So I think that's what I would ask myself. What is it? What's
That's
my
great.
unmet need?
That's great. And
Okay.
I know the answer, and I love blankets too. So that's really helpful. Thank you.
You're welcome. Is that all? That was easy, girl.
That wasn't easy for, I thought it was going to be a big and long and not easy at all.
No, I think you just, when you're reaching for that candy and you know
I'm also
logically,
lying to myself. I think I'm just going to have eight. I'm not going to have eight. I'm going to eat the entire carton.
there's a course on the website that I love that's the old No Excuses Camp. Okay. I think that's even what it's called, No Excuses. It's under events. I think
Okay.
you should, there's a lesson in there that talks about excuses and justifications. You should totally go out and listen to that lesson because that's what our habit brain does. It gets that sexy voice, like Barry White, and it goes, "Yo, Linda, jujus. You didn't get to eat them when you were on vacation. You should buy some. You're only going to have eight." Right? And this conscious brain is over here just watching it happen. It's like, "Wonder what she's going to do." You could engage that conscious brain and say, "Yeah, but just eight, you know better. You know you're going to want the whole bag. Is this what we really need right now?" MJ talks about ping ponging. Ping pong those jujus, girl.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you very much.
All right.
I'm going to look for that that event. No excuses.
No excuses, camp. It's a good one. It's one of my
Okay.
favorites. I felt like she was talking to me the whole weekend. All right. You need anything else? Holler at Ask Coaches, okay?
Okay, thank you.
All right. See ya. All right, everybody. That's it. If you have any more questions about the nervous system, you know where to find me in the Ask Coaches. Tag me in Facebook, whatever suits you. I'm around, except that I'll be gone for 2 weeks on vacation, managing my own nervous system because I'll be traveling in countries that don't speak English. They tell me everybody speaks English in Europe, right? With my grandkids, sharing a van, all the things. It'll be fun. It'll be awesome. All right. Y'all have a good one. Take care. Thanks for being here.